Blog Talk Radio.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
He has been listened to by over 100 people. He is Jake Pellet.
Oh, wow. Nothing's going to ever keep you down. You're the best. Oh, wow. Nothing's going to ever keep you down.
How's everybody doing? That was weird. That one played. I just don't get it anymore. That one I made a long time ago, and it didn't sound clear, so I never played it. For some reason, probably Jeffrey changed it, one of the unscripted people. But anyway, I rolled with it. And like I say, and I always say, it wouldn't be the Jake Pentland show without a screw-up in the beginning. So how's everybody doing? Eli and Jen are both here. I'm so excited.
Yay!
Eli, we got to talk at some point today about Rosh Hashanah on Monday.
You should just fucking smile and blow me, because I deserve it.
Well, you have to hear me out. My father, I don't know if I'm allowed. Well, screw it. Whatever. It's nothing bad. My father is moving to Hawaii, Eli.
Really? Why?
He's going to, I don't want to give too much family drama away, but my mom has that museum, you know, the Haunted Museum, and she had these artists live there, Marcia and Archie. And Jen, can you check that number? Why? The 541,
sure.
Please. These artist friends of hers, they started to break up and have some trouble. Anyway, the situation got weird, so Mom asked them to move out, and she wants my dad to come out to Hawaii and sort of curate the museum, get it up to speed, because eventually it's going to be a real museum, you know, where they take tours and such.
What's in the museum?
There's a lot of actual ancient Hawaiian artifacts in there. I mean, it's a long story. I mean, if you had watched the reality show Your Best Friend Was On, you might know some of the history.
No, I saw it, but
yeah.
It was like, it just, they talked about ghosts in that episode, and I couldn't really tell which items were, you know, like,
well, there's,
I guess.
There's sacred stuff there. There is. So, but I mean, it still needs a lot of work. But anyway, so my dad's moving the first week. He's out of here in like a couple weeks. He's gone.
With his wife?
Becky's going to be out there working. Becky's going to sort of travel back and forth. They're going to keep the trailer in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that's why I got to talk to you about Monday, because Monday is probably the last time I'm going to see my father. So
oh,
we're
God.
Gonna, yeah. I mean, for at least, it's a two-year contract and six-month installment. So.
Yeah,
but I'm really happy because,
totally,
what's that?
You could totally hang out with him then.
Yeah, and that's cool because I was trying to get out of Rosh Hashanah at your house anyway.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to miss football. And that's the thing that people don't understand. They think I'm joking, but I thought about it. I only get, there's 365 days a year in the calendar, Eli, right?
Right.
And on only 16 of those 365 days can I watch my Denver Broncos.
Right.
So it's already rare. So the fact that you planned your Jew holiday on a Monday Night Football game is not my fault. Now,
well,
I did agree
I
to come over.
I didn't plan it. I didn't plan it. And when you say Jew holiday, I assume you're referring that you celebrate it too, since you're Jewish.
No, I'm not Jewish.
I
was going to come over.
You're...
We don't have to get into this now. Anyway, I know it sounds like a convenient excuse, but the other thing is my dad has to give me some things to watch that cannot be shipped or delivered. I don't want to sound all mysterious.
Jake,
so.
Just don't come then.
Okay, awesome. So I'm going to watch football. Go Broncos.
Yeah.
All right, thank
no
God. You're not going to guilt
no
me? Because I know you're a
no.
Jew, and that's what you Jews do.
Right.
Only guilt.
Wait, let's hear about Gibson rant on the Jews.
That was actually to his ex-wife who he beat. Speaking of ex-wives, I think that's a good segue, everybody. I'm getting better at this. We have the famous Thomas Beattie, the pregnant man, on the
yeah.
line. And was that you, Thomas?
No, that was Eli.
Oh. Thomas, are you there?
I am here.
How are you? How are you, bro? Buddy.
Good. How you doing?
Thomas is a good friend of the show. I've had him as a guest, still probably, if not my favorite, one of my top two or three shows. It was fascinating. He's also called in to comment from time to time. And today he's our guest again. He's our first multiple guest besides the times when my mother calls and yells at me, which don't really count as guests. So welcome, Thomas. You're becoming a friend of the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I love the word multiple.
What's that?
I said I love the word multiple.
I did. So here's the reason you're back, because we covered, you know, the sex change. And for those who don't remember The Pregnant Man and don't listen to my show, and this is the first time, you'll probably remember Thomas from Oprah a few years back, who Thomas was born a female and had a sex change operation, but stalled the full change so that he could, even though he was living as a man, he still kept his uterus and ovaries and fathered children. Mothered children and fathered. It's all confusing. We don't even have to get back into it. But since then, Thomas has completed the surgery and is now full man, no lady bits, no lady parts, no estrogen. So he makes a lot of sense and he's logical and we love him. So anyway, this time, Thomas, you're back because, from what I understand, and I haven't really been able to really research it, it's kind of confusing. You are legally a man, from what I understand. You were married as a man, and I think your driver's license is male, but you're having trouble, as I understand it, getting a divorce because now you're not being recognized as a man. Is that right?
Well, I transitioned legally 10 years ago. I've been living my life as male for the last 15 years. But yes, I fully legally transitioned, driver's license, passport, social security, marriage, birth certificate, everything. And what's going on with me legally right now is an Arizona Superior Court judge, the judge in our family court divorce case, has put my and Nancy's divorce on hold. I filed for separation in March of this year, and Nancy converted it to a divorce, and we're supposed to have our final hearing this week, but the judge canceled that hearing because he is now questioning the validity of our marriage and my identity as male.
Okay.
So basically, he asked our attorneys to submit a 20-page memorandum to explain why the divorce is within jurisdiction, why he shouldn't see it as a same-sex marriage, and my attorney did that. Nancy's just submitted a form that said, yeah, I agree with what he said. But anyway, the judge is scheduling an upcoming trial on December 7th to hear oral argument for and against our marriage. So third parties will be given the opportunity to support or contest our marriage.
Well, I'm sorry, did you say your nephew's divorce? Or did I hear that wrong? I thought I heard you say it's contesting your nephew's divorce.
No, contesting, I don't know what I said. I didn't say the word nephew.
Was I the only one that heard that, Jen?
No, I didn't hear
that. He's questioning the validity of our marriage, I probably
said. This is where it's confusing. Why is it, I mean, if you're recognized and married legally, which you are, yes?
Yes.
As a man, why would they start bringing the question now as you try and get a divorce? That's what I don't know.
Well,
did you move to a different state?
Yes, we did. We got married in Hawaii in 2003, and then we moved to Oregon. That's where I had the babies, and Nancy actually legally adopted the children in Oregon just to cross our T's and dot our I's.
And Nancy's your soon-to-be ex-wife.
Soon-to-be.
Yes,
soon-to-be. That's what I'm working toward, and that's the whole problem. In the last, the 11th hour, the judge is going, well, wait a second, I'm going to pull a DOMA on you and say that I think this might be same-sex marriage. You have to convince me that you're a man. And the thing is, the full faith and credit clause across states, you know, it's the Defense of Marriage Act, where certain, you know, states across state don't have to acknowledge same-sex marriage. But, and so that's what the judge is pulling here. But the thing is, we're not married same-sex. We're married as husband and wife in Hawaii.
Gotcha.
And with the adoption, within the adoption paperwork, it's a court order that says that Nancy is to be considered as mother and I'm father, and it should be changed on Social Security. And that document acknowledges that we're married. So the judge technically should be acknowledging our marriage, but I think someone got in his ear. And, you know, this is a really conservative state.
Yeah, Arizona.
And,
we all know.
It's an election
Arizona's
year.
Like Florida.
And I think he just doesn't want this on his watch right now.
Right. Because it's a little.
What does it mean if he doesn't recognize it as a female male marriage? What can happen?
It puts me in a really awkward position. Puts me and Nancy in a really awkward position because even if the state of Arizona says, all right, fine, we're not going to consider you married because we're not going to honor your divorce, basically your marriage is invalid, it doesn't mean that we're not married in 49 other states. We are. We filed taxes jointly, federally, so according to the federal government, we're still married. So it's just making it extremely difficult on us to get a divorce. I mean, this is our state residency. This is where we live. Technically, we could move to another state, you know, next door to California, but then the same exact thing could happen again. I could probably move to Hawaii, but I'd have to live there for 3 to 6 months in order to file a divorce, and then I'd be without my children. Nancy would never consent to me moving away with the kids, and I would lose them. I mean, we're part of the United States of America. Arizona is not giving me my equal rights to get a divorce. And then I can't marry my girlfriend, Amber. It'd be
polygamy. Right. So, sorry, so if they, you're saying if they, because I know a lot of people are going to go, just move. So just to back that up, if it wasn't recognized as a legal marriage in Arizona, it's basically invalidated. It's annulled. You're no longer married. Yay. Except you're saying this, like if you were to go to Hawaii, you'd still be considered married. And on your federal tax, you'd still be married?
Yeah, I mean, so Arizona court judge says you're not married. Okay, fine, I'll marry my girlfriend Amber right here, right now.
Right.
Well, then what am I going to do when I file taxes? It's polygamy. It's illegal. I'll be thrown in jail.
And is there
and
a
why wouldn't he divorce you as a same sex? And not that that's something you'd want, but wouldn't he be able to divorce you as a same sex marriage then?
Well,
no,
same
sex is not. It's not recognized in the state of Arizona. Nor
okay.
Hawaii.
Wow. Okay.
So he's saying it's out of jurisdiction because it could possibly be a same sex marriage because I have to prove that I'm a man, and that's to be determined.
So. But in Hawaii, I mean, you said it's a male-female marriage. Did Hawaii, because it tends to be a little bit more liberal, did they kind of wink at you and go, you're a man, or they recognize you as a man?
No, they recognize me as a man.
So
I'm fully legally male, and I was married in a heterosexual marriage to Nancy.
Right. So the judge in Arizona is saying, basically, if you convince me you're a man, I will grant you a divorce.
Right, and well, this is bizarre too, because the requirements to get a sex change are identical for Hawaii as they are to Arizona. So if I, at the time, had decided to move to Arizona and get married, he's still going by the same standards. He's pulling this card that I don't have to recognize marriages from state to state. It's just convenient right now.
So is there a legal precedent for what he's doing, or is he acting above the law?
This is going to be a legal precedent, positive or negative. It's going to be a very important trial as it's going to set something legally regarding the validity of marriages for transgender people. Basically, this is a test case. There's only been a handful of cited court decisions regarding transgender people marriages, and the rights for transgender people are on a losing streak. There's been a case where a transgender woman's husband died, and then she lost rights to the state because the marriage was contested. And I think in Texas, the state is threatening to invalidate potentially all transgender people's marriages by not acknowledging their amended birth certificates. So they're going to only go by the original birth sex, and being that same-sex marriages are illegal, that could be a mess. But what's happening with my divorce case, though my case will be the first of its kind, it's really a highly visible case. And in this case, I'm a transgender person with children, and I've given birth to them within marriage, and it's being contested.
Yeah, that's what I find.
So my attorneys are having a difficult position defending me in that there have been no other similar cases to refer to at all.
Right, which is something a lot of lawyers do, is they refer to similar cases. It's kind of like when you go buy a house, it's like comps. They say this rule was here, so this is unprecedented, which in some ways is, I mean, terrifying, because this judge in Arizona, not only is it just one of those weird cases that falls in the middle of so many things, but if he wanted to, he could use you as an example, which is always terrifying.
Yeah, that is the fear. If our marriage is tried and the judge hears testimony and agrees to move forward with our divorce, it'd be monumental in the government acknowledging the validity of marriages for transgender people.
And,
you know, because if he grants us the divorce, it's going to be basically accepting our marriage.
Right. That's ridiculous. That's so you're in a mess here, man.
And why not?
Yep.
I don't know if you said this already, but why can't, I know it's quite a trip, but you can't go to Hawaii and get the divorce then?
No, he can. He just has to have residency for 6 months.
I honestly think that this judge is not going to let it go through. I just have this feeling about it. My attorney is going to appeal, obviously, and go to a higher court. But I mean, that's the end last resort is moving out of state. But, you know, it's expensive to do that, and also
right.
at risk of losing my children. You know, this is also not a marriage that slips by. I mean, we're not being stealthy about it. Everyone knows that, you know, this is a transgender marriage. So the fact that this is going to be on the books doing it is really important. Arizona is a conservative state, so having our marriage recognized here is how laws get changed, not
right.
only here but across the nation.
Exactly. And what are the chances, honestly, in Arizona? I mean, honestly, you probably couldn't have picked a more conservative state.
I
think about it.
Exactly. You know, I think this is walking into the devil's den for sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially for things like this. I mean, I understand. It's so strange because this is not. I know people are listening. They might consider this a gay marriage, or they're going to start talking about gay marriage. This has nothing to do with gay marriage. This is a man and a woman married. This is regular marriage.
This is traditional marriage.
Fundamentalists, they're freaking out like the Bible says man and woman. This falls in that category if you're accepted as a man. So I just want to. I mean, this is such an odd sort of part in history. I feel thankful that you're calling in to this show, actually, in all honesty. But I just want to know, the very first thing you said is the judge has to recognize you as a man. When you say that, you mean if he grants you divorce, he recognizes you as a man. There's not some, like, test or hurdles or decathlon you have to pass with this guy for him to consider you a man, right?
I don't know.
Awesome.
I'm hoping I don't have to pull my pants down in front of
him.
I want to have
no,
to
I mean,
do that.
What he's saying is,
don't make
I'm going to determine. I mean, that's a reality show right there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm already pitching that.
Now, well, you know, it's interesting.
And I
want to
see.
Sex. I know, and Nancy does too. I'm not going to lie. But in my opinion, I actually think this is the Achilles heel to the legalization for same-sex marriage, even though this has to do with traditional marriage,
right.
transgender marriage, because it's taking a closer look at my case. I think it's going to expand the court's understanding and opinions of sex and gender, and it's going to make a legal definition on it. And as such, it's going to fuel a public debate for the government to evolve with the times and provide equality for transgender people, but by not letting them fall through the legal cracks, because right now we do. Laws just aren't providing for us. It's like we don't exist. And this is a marker. Here I am. I'm in a marriage. I'm a transgender person. What are you going to do about it?
Right. So again, just to clarify, it's in the judge's hands and your lawyers. You're battling this out in court as we speak.
Yes, and you know, it happens that this could potentially affect millions of people.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone transgender, any transgender person that is currently married or wants to get married, and you know, it should affect all people, transgender or not, because we're talking about basic civil liberties at stake. I'm hoping that the transgender organizations step up and help me, because the judge is actually asking for third-party intervention. The judge is asking for amici briefs or formal written statements from parties vested interest. So
well, I'm available.
Kind of like a cattle call.
Speak.
You're going to speak on my behalf?
I will. If you need me there, let me know.
Yeah, what kind of support are you getting? Are you from any organizations or groups, like lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgenders? Are you getting some?
Well, my attorney's reached out to a few organizations, and some of them have gotten back, and hopefully they will get more involved, because I don't think for a second that the conservative groups are not going to weigh in against my marriage.
Yeah.
And this is the crux of what the LGBT organizations fight for. I'm an activist, and I know how critical this is. You know, it'd be the easiest thing for me would be to give up, you know, because I'm just at stake of losing money and things, and I have to pay alimony.
Welcome to being a man.
Sucks.
Well, if he gets the divorce, he has to pay alimony. He's fighting
to
pay alimony.
Yeah, Nancy's killing me on alimony. I don't want to have to pay it, but I'm fighting for this because it's what I believe in.
Right.
You know, I'm fighting to save my marriage. I'm fighting for the integrity of marriages for all transgender people.
And
so this is a lot of weight.
Yeah, it is. It's so it's so strange. I mean, I imagine that you would be getting support from, what is it, LGBTQ now or something? TQ?
I've never heard of the Q part.
The Q's new. It's going to be like, it's going to be 40 letters next month the way they go. But I think it's lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, questioning, I think is the new one.
Questioning.
Yeah, or curious.
Yeah.
I don't know. Quaint.
Curious is a C.
But anyway, the LGBTQWXYZ, I imagine they're supporting you, but I was noticing on the Twitter feed yesterday, and I retweeted some things, it seems to me as an outsider that they're sort of looking at this the same way the judge may, which is like, let's just see how this goes down. Let's see what happens before we interject. And this is the time where you actually want to be involved and interjecting and saying your piece and speaking out on it, because there's been no decision made. This is the point. And I mean, is that what the – first of all, are you getting support from these people or not? Let's ask that first.
Well, I always – I'm afraid to talk about it because I'm afraid to not get their support if I talk about it. But I haven't gotten any formal. Well, you can talk about it.
Okay.
But you know, I don't want to name names and stuff. But there hasn't been any kind of formal support from me. And since the beginning of my story coming out, you know, my story's been highly publicized worldwide. And it'd be difficult for me to find someone who hasn't heard of my story in some way, shape, or form, whether it be TV, tabloid, radio, water cooler talk, or joke, or whatever.
Yeah.
So the LGBT orgs are very aware of me. And I remember it was Fox. It was a program called Red Eye. The host was Greg Gutfeld. And he did a series of segments on me. He teed off on me, basically. Refusing to acknowledge my male gender was the least of my worries, but he was saying stuff like, you're going to have a three-eyed Ewok, and I'm a freak, and that they hoped I killed myself.
Jeez.
And I was in disbelief that, you know, a well-known organization against defamation in public for GLBT didn't step up and support me, and I don't know why. And
well, I have a theory.
I don't know why either. I mean, it's such a group that's promoting inclusion and non-discrimination, and because of how you've gone about your transition, it seems like that's why they're discriminating, because you chose to have children. Are you really, like, one of the only transgender males to have children?
I am apparently the first legal male on record to give birth. There's been lots of transgender people who've, I mean, after I gave birth, there's been lots of people in the media doing it. And I'm sure there's been a lot of self-identified transgender people who've given birth before me, but, you know, there's a first for everything. And just like with this court case, it's a legal precedent, so.
Right. Just seems like it would be, I mean, wise of them in general, not just to be supportive and inclusive, but it would be very wise for them to help and support this case, because it's going to happen again. You're not going to be the last.
Oh, sure. No, it has happened again. And you'd think that a community so diverse and so supposedly tolerant should be able to embrace the gamut of diversity within its own community, especially when the focus should be fighting for what's right, which is legal and social equality.
I mean, it sounds like feminist and everything else. You have to fit into the little box.
Well, that's
that
what I'm getting
at.
I mean, is that the case, Thomas, because you sort of did the transition in, quote-unquote, two steps, and you were living as a man, but you were, you know, pregnant? Do you think that they don't consider you transgender? Or they didn't at the time? Is there some truth to that? Or just as an outsider, it looks that way. I don't know.
You know, honestly, you'd have to ask them. I've postulated. I'm trying to figure it out myself. But for me, Jake, I've considered that I've fully transitioned. You know, I've gone through stages of surgery, but I've always had a solid male gender identity.
Right.
And, you know, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding even within the LGBT community. And, you know, a lot of transgender people themselves probably wouldn't have made that choice to have their own biological child, but I'm opening that up to debate. I'm like, for me personally, I think that that's a fantastic way for transgender people to be parents, and for trans men to be fathers. And sometimes that's the only accessible way for people like us to reproduce.
Well, I know you don't want to come out and say it, so we're kind of dancing around it, but you do not have support. I mean, let's just be honest.
I don't have a whole lot of support, but I do. I mean, I get contacted by people all the time, you know, from Facebook. I get unsolicited.
But I mean, like official LGBTQ.
No official support. And I would have welcomed that with open arms because I feel like I'm fighting for the right thing. You know, I'm fighting for transgender reproductive rights. I'm fighting for the integrity of transgender people to identify as how they want to live their lives and who they want to be. And I think that message is congruent with, you know, some of the other people who are in the media doing the same thing. And I just wish that they would help out and they would open their minds a little bit more.
Well, that's what's so fascinating, if that is indeed true, is that you would expect that the LGBTQ society, whatever you call them, would, even if they don't agree with your choices, they constantly preach about open-mindedness and acceptance, and these are our choices, and, you know, you'll hear that around the clock, and I find it interesting, and I do believe they're not supporting you. I'll come out and say it. I think that you're an outsider within the outsiders, and I find that psychologically fascinating that they would still, after all the press and PR they do about being accepted, that they wouldn't accept. By every definition, you are a member of the LGBTQ. You're the T. So for them not to accept you because they don't agree with your choice, is the hypocrisy there is stunning, if that is indeed true. And I happen to think it is. And I think because the you know, you can't name names, but I can, the Chaz Bonos of the world that are very public as well, they have a certain image to protect. It's either you have to fit into their mold or you don't count, which is exactly what they're railing against, is it not? I mean, am I crazy?
No, you're onto something. And he is endorsed by the major orgs, you know, the LGBT orgs. And I support his message. I mean, to be fair, I don't know Chaz personally. I don't know his views. But... Yeah, it's a tough one.
Like, you would probably not get on Dancing with the Stars.
Right?
He would be way better on
No,
there.
I mean, because that was some producer who was like, oh, Chaz can get us in with the LGBT crowd. I know how these people think. And then they're kind of like, well, Thomas Beattie, the pregnant man. Well, no, because the LGBTs don't even support him. So you're not going to get on Dancing with the Stars, is what I'm saying. You should. I would totally watch
that. Thanks.
But Chaz is a figurehead. Chaz is a model or whatever for that particular community, and
he's a figurehead because he has a certain celebrity status,
right.
You know, because of his relations. And I, you know, honestly, he and I are probably the most highly visible public transgender people in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
And. You know, I think what he's doing is great. I think that him being vocal and speaking out for transgender rights is really important.
But it would be nice if Chaz were to at least offer you, even if it's just a public statement, like, this is a big case in Arizona, we're all polling for, you know, the LGBTQ rights and blah, 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 which they've been kind of silent.
Especially,
I mean,
when he faced so much discrimination with Dancing with the Stars and got tremendous support from every direction.
Yeah.
So you'd think he could relate.
But the difference is,
well, yeah,
to be,
I mean,
clear,
he doesn't have to personally support me. I mean, I did try to reach out to him when I heard news of his coming out, and I didn't.
Did you have a
back,
plate of sandwiches and cheeseburgers? Because I think that would work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
morning.
He doesn't have to support me personally just because he shares a commonality with me.
Of course.
However, I believe that when it's that the commonality that you're both fighting for, especially when it has to do with fair human rights and individual freedom, that's when you kind of need to step up to the plate, at least publicly, because we're both so public, and this is kind of a different situation.
Yeah, we had a fan ask a great question. I won't say it by name because he's in the middle of a bipolar mood swing right now, and apparently I enable him. But a 16-year-old boy asked a great question when we were having this debate on Twitter, which is, why would Chaz support you? Why does Chaz need to? And I thought about it. I'll answer first for you, Thomas, is that, you know, he started comparing, does Oprah have to support all black people? And it's a great question. But the thing is that I just want to say that's different is, you know, Oprah and African Americans today is very different than Oprah and African Americans, you know, 200 years ago. And at the time, I think you could make it a little bit of closer relation if you're talking about public opinion and persecution. Oprah doesn't need to support every African American. I can't say that. Every black person. Oprah doesn't have to support black people today, like, you know, to say every black thing she has to support. But if she wasn't a part of, you know, the abolitionist movement, then you would have a problem with her. I would. You know, if she's like pro-slavery in 1845, that's kind of strange to me. And I think that's a little bit closer. It's not the same thing, but we're at a time where you can see it in this case right now when you're going to Arizona. This is something unprecedented. This is something everybody's uneasy on one side of this debate or not another. No one's really comfortable with this either way. And
right.
This is a time where people that are on the outside need to sort of band together, even if, you know, forget my politics or whether I agree that this is the right thing for you or what. Forget anybody's politics. The point is, you are trying to get a divorce, which to me, that should not be stopped. Marriage, maybe. I can see the conservative movement getting crazy. But if they're so against you getting married in the first place, then they should grant you a divorce. That's a point for them. Am I right? I mean... Seriously.
Just make sure I'm not married anymore.
Yeah, they're like, hey, one less transgender married couple we got to worry about. You know, let's go out.
Yeah,
and have
he's
some
not
going
to be the last. That's what we keep saying. You know, it's going to happen. I hope it
now
happens.
Now it's a tricky
Chaz.
Situation.
I want it to happen to Chaz. Chaz needs to get married, have babies, and then try to get divorced, and then he'll understand.
Well,
you know,
yeah, my divorce potentially affects Chaz's ability to get married. And
right.
I saw that tweet, and he said, I'm gay, and I don't have to support every gay person. And he's saying, oh, you know, a transgender person doesn't always have to support another transgender person, but we're talking about the fight for equal rights thing, and Chaz doesn't have to have a beer with me, you know?
No.
But to show support for me and for him, it's just... I think that it's a respectable thing to do. It's a moral obligation. It's kind of like if you're an animal rights activist, would you wear a fur coat? Or
right.
if you're a medic, would you walk by an accident and not lend a hand? I mean, it's just...
It's certainly strange, especially because, again, the important thing here is they're not animal rights activists. They are activists
human.
Constantly talking about acceptance and open-mindedness. That's the difference. I mean, this is right in their wheelhouse. And for them not to support it is bizarre. It's, you know, what you're fighting for is what they're fighting for. It's the same.
Just
fight.
The humanity part of it is what they should
be
fighting for.
It's
but logically, the logical part of it is what I really can't grasp that they don't get. Like, don't you get that this is going to help everybody? You know.
It's
well,
why
I mean,
their organizations are in existence.
Right. So I mean, it doesn't make sense. The only thing is, and the only logical. Explanation that anyone could make is that they don't support you because the way in which you transgendered doesn't fit into their box. It's got to be that. I mean, you're the nicest person. I've had you on many times. You're not offensive in every possible way. You're nothing but respectful. There's no reason they could personally not like you. There's no reason. So it has to be the fact, I really believe, that as you became a man and said you were a man, that you kept your ovaries and uterus, and for them, that is crossing the line. That is not LGBTQ to them.
No,
I really
you know, that's
that.
Ridiculous. It because most trans men, actually a lot of transgender people, they don't have the means to or the funding or even the desire to completely rip out their plumbing. I mean, it's
right.
not for everyone to do that. Not every transgender person wants to get, quote-unquote, sex change surgery.
Do
so
they
that's
accept
very
that?
Well within their box. Well, yeah, I think, you know.
And yeah, it's in their box. Some
The public trend is to want to completely assimilate and to, you
right.
know, have all the surgeries and everything. It's a slippery debate. But for most transgender people, I mean, it's all about diversity, and that's the core of the community is diversity. So,
right.
yeah, I think it was an embarrassment. I mean, that's a word that I was told. And I was told from friends that, you know, transgender people from the organizations are telling other people not to talk about me. You know, that's the best way to fight my situation is my media story is going to come and go and eventually it's going to die a death. Just don't talk about them. And so if you enter in my name in their organizational websites, my name doesn't even come up, which is ridiculous because
wow.
I'm only all over the entire internet and everywhere. So, you know, I think there was an embarrassment that because I did what I did that they thought that they're going to have harder support from the community and accepting
the embarrassment
the idea
was having the baby?
Of being transgender. Yeah, well, I think they thought that most people wouldn't understand transgender people if this comes out first. I mean, transgender 101 is in its infancy. Most people don't even know a transgender person. So coming out with a person who identifies as male and gives birth, it's kind of like transgender 601. It's just way too fast. You know, they just wanted to start in the beginning, and I think a lot of transgender men got flack themselves in their own lives, you know, when people saw my story and then they want to, you know, say, oh, you're just like this person, what, you're going to give birth? And no, you're really a woman, because I was basically beat up in the media. Everyone's calling me a woman. I'm not really transgender. I'm not really a man. And so,
and that was just my show.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I'm so sorry. No, but it's so funny. I have this theory I always tell people, is that life does not get more sophisticated than high school. There's like this weird thinking. I remember when I got in a fight with the Pune lesbians about this, is that they think when you grow up, there aren't cliques, that there aren't like cool groups, and that there isn't this sort of pressure to fit in a box. They think that changes, and it doesn't. And then they think civil rights organizations or whatever, they don't do that because they're a higher level. No, this is fascinating to me, because it's not fascinating. It's so obvious and honest that this would happen. It doesn't surprise me. It's just so bizarre. It's so bizarre that somebody that gets up and puts their LGBTQ quote on and goes to the meetings is going to sit there and all of a sudden start going, you're not cool enough to fit in this group.
Yeah, they're judging what kind of transgender person he
is.
Yeah,
and they're like, you're not, you can't fit in here. You're a weirdo. It's like, you are the last people that should be doing that.
But there's
a lot of
minorities like that. Like, look at the black, you know, their prejudice against whoever's darker. And, I mean, there's so much prejudice within each minority community.
Absolutely.
And Christians saying you're not a real Christian. Yeah,
right.
I think you're right. It all goes back to high school.
It does. People are
yeah,
idiots.
It's us against them.
That's just the way it is. But in this time, you know, it's especially this election, for whatever reason, the landscape of America, at least it feels like it. It may not be, but it just feels like people are starting to diverge a little bit more, and they're starting to separate themselves with their opinions a little stronger than they would before. And it feels as if, you know, the battles are waging and the sides are being taken, almost like in The Stand with Stephen King. It just feels that way. And it's whatever's going on, this is the time that you've got to let little differences go. You know, this is the time you've got to stand up for what's right. And if you don't agree with every choice in somebody, the bottom line is, like you both said, Jen and Thomas, at the beginning of this, this does affect that community. Whatever happens in Arizona is going to affect them. Whether they like you or not doesn't matter. This is a precedent for them. This is an important case to get behind. I mean, it's bizarre, but it's hysterical. And I think...
What's hysterical?
It's just, again, it's hysterical that a group...
dumbfounded hysterical.
What's that?
Like dumbfounded.
No, hysterical, like I'm laughing. I mean, these people...
Really?
I mean, I feel sorry for Thomas. Sorry, I don't mean to say I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. It's just this group that talks so much about this does the exact opposite. It's the same thing that you find everywhere. You find it, you know, in politics. You find, you know, conservatives talking about small government and then wanting to control abortions. And it's just funny to me that people that go out and put their face on, their public face, and say things do the exact opposite and don't even question the hypocrisy. There's not even a part of them that thinks, oh, man, I look like an asshole. They don't even do that. That's what's hysterical. But I'm going off with thank you.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
It's just people are people make me laugh because they're so fucked up. I can't help but laugh. It's just
and they
bizarre.
can't see the simple logic in that. Like it
no,
seems
stupid.
So obvious.
No, they're gonna. I mean, they don't. How can you not be in your LGBTQ meeting, looking at Thomas saying, you know, I'm going through this court case, and not say we need to get behind this guy? Instead of going, oh, he's weird. That's not what you do when you're in that community. That's what you're fighting against. That's what you freaking parades once a year. You have parades about accepting people. You can't accept one of your own.
How dare him wanting to have biological children because his wife couldn't.
it's ridiculous. But if you did, though, Thomas, just for the record, if you did move to Hawaii and you put the 3 to 6 months, you got a legal divorce in Hawaii, then you could come back theoretically and work out with Nancy. Kids, you're not going to lose any rights as a father in alimony if you do that, right? I mean, I know that's not what you want to do. I'm just saying. That's the cleanest.
It appears that the child custody issues are completely separate than the divorce case. Even if the judge decides not to honor the divorce, the child custody part is still marching forward. And she did legally adopt the children, so that's going to be hashed out. But I'm thinking that part could even possibly be challenged because the judge is deciding to pick and choose what he likes out of the adoption paperwork because it clearly says that we're husband and wife. And it clearly orders Social Security to switch anything and say that I'm father. So he's, in essence, not acknowledging that part, but is saying, okay, but she adopted them. So I'm thinking the judge has some logical problems.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have this feeling in my gut that I don't like this judge, but then if I think about it, this would be probably the worst kind of case to take over as a judge when you think about it, because it's so complex and complicated. I mean, on both sides, if you really think about it. And I do like that he's calling in a third party. I don't know who the third party is yet, but...
It's basically anyone. It's
LGBT.
Any of the LGBT groups who want to step up, and I hope they do, because I think that I'm going to have some conservative groups lobbying against my marriage.
Right. Well, yeah, you know they're going to show up.
Yeah, they're going to show up, and I'm going to be standing there, you know, I'm going to make a joke, but I'm not, by myself, and no one there to support me. I'm just, yeah, I don't know.
What can we do to help? I mean, when is the court meeting case? I mean, is there a deadline for any of this?
The big one is December 7th. That's it's going to happen.
Pearl Harbor.
I think it's, yeah.
On Pearl Harbor
Day.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's when oral argument's going to be heard.
On December 7th. So you have time to sort of get people on your side.
I told him you should go after Gloria Allred.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I mean, I told him it sounds so cliche, but really, she loves this kind of shit.
No, she doesn't, because Thomas is a man now. She's a man-hater. Otherwise, she would.
She's not a man-hater.
She's a total man-hater.
She likes discriminatory-type stories. You know, like, no.
She needs, that woman's got problems. Thomas,
she wins.
You should have your girlfriend call her on behalf. Your fiance.
Well, I think she just practices out of California. I don't even think she could represent me.
Well, I mean, it's like I want to comment on so many different things, and it's tough to do a show on this because there just really isn't enough to know right now. Because again, it's never happened. It's not like I can cite a previous case. I obviously am rooting for you. I've never really rooted for someone to get a divorce more, except for my mom and Tom Arnold. Now I think about it, this is the second most I've ever rooted for a divorce. But I mean, if you guys are clearly not happy, don't want to be married, that's something nobody should stop. This, like, I'm going to step into this saying, as a pro-divorce guy, you can't withhold divorce from somebody. You can't force somebody to stay married with them. That sounds horrible. So there's that,
I'm just thinking about the adoption part of it, because if the judge invalidates the marriage, then I'm thinking that the adoption paperwork has to, it's like baby in the bathwater, has to go out with it too, and then that would leave me with the children. You know, permanently. And I don't think he wants to risk that because that's going to be seriously legally messy for him. I mean,
because you won't have any trouble.
Deal.
They're biologically yours. She would have
the
trouble.
Yeah, they are. And that would put Nancy's rights at risk. So she should be really vested in this too.
Is she healthy now?
Her.
I know.
No,
is she all? I know she was drinking or on drugs and stuff. Is she being a good mother?
What?
Is this a happy divorce, I guess, is the word?
Oh, God, no.
Well, because he sounds
terrible.
Supportive of her, if you ask me. He sounds like he would want to make sure that she doesn't have rights taken away. That's all.
No, I don't want rights taken away from her. I just want her to get better. She's going to drug court right now, and she's doing mandatory testing, you know, like P-tests and stuff, and going to meetings. And, you know, I want her to be psychologically stable and know that she's not going to relapse. In order to feel safe to have the kids with her, and that's all I want.
I mean,
you know, I don't know when that's going to happen, but you know, and I'm going to fight for my children. And
who's watching the children now? Are you splitting, or she is in rehab? You have them.
Well, Amber actually had to take them out of the house because they would be screaming in the background. She went to the gym and took them to the gym with her.
Gotcha. But you're in. Sorry, I'm so off today.
You have full custody.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
now.
Possession.
I have full
okay,
custody
you.
Right
thank
now,
you,
and the parenting plan is it's changed. But, yeah, the final court hearing is going to be January 31st, and that's going to be the permanent orders. Right now it's just temporary orders.
Well, I'm going to keep a close eye on this. I mean, I guess, I'm sorry, I really wish that I had more clout and power to help you, Tom. I really do.
What?
You know.
You have 3,200 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, that's none of them like me, though. I mean, trust me, it doesn't work. No, but we'll get it out the best we can do. I mean, what I can do is consistently attack Chaz Bono on Twitter on your behalf, which I will do. I'm more than happy.
I don't know if that's helping. You know, I'm,
yeah, I'm not sure, but I will do it.
I'm like, oh, no one supports me. But no, honestly, I just hope that they step up and do help out, because this is for everyone.
Is there an LGBTQ Twitter page? I mean, is there a publicist, someone that we could, if we wanted to, my awesome cult followers, someone we could call and berate? I mean, I'm sorry,
someone
suggest
that
nicely.
Oh, I'll
LGBTQ.
Happily call. I need to vent on somebody. So
yeah,
I mean,
Jen's
I would
pregnant,
love to use it for a positive reason, and yeah, I'll call those bitches.
Is there someone we could call? I'm seriously.
Yeah, I think it's Roger in Tennessee. No.
I was ready to write down Roger.
I was too. I'm
yeah,
writing
Roger,
it down.
His number is.
No. No, I will do. That's what I'm going
to
do.
No, they have to have a website. They'll have a website.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Jen. You and I have to find that. Thomas cannot be a part of this. He does not
right,
condone
no,
our behavior.
No, Thomas loves them.
No,
and
we're
just
playing good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Thomas, you should tell me.
You guys are bad cop.
You should
in
tell
need
me
of their
not
support,
to call
and we're judging them for being assholes. Yeah.
I will do. That's what I'm going to do.
Another interesting thing. I really need this divorce because I have a life insurance policy that leaves Nancy as the beneficiary. It's,
oh, gosh.
It's a $4 million life insurance policy, and
oh,
if
man.
I die somehow mysteriously tomorrow, she gets it,
by
and I
Nancy.
Can't change it.
Oh.
I cannot change the beneficiary until I actually get a divorce, and that's the law, and that's the
not
rule.
Even to your children only? You couldn't
nope,
do that?
I can't change it. She has to consent to the change, and she won't do that, obviously. And
oh
I
gosh.
Can't change her,
thanks.
And I have to get the divorce because of that. I don't sleep well at nights.
Oh, it's that bad. Well, you know, if she's in a facility, can't you take power of attorney or someone take power of attorney if she's not mentally sound?
A facility?
Well, I mean, you said she's in.
I think she's just in drug courts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, can we get her in a facility? I'm always thinking, Thomas. No, but here's the thing. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to call and harass the LGBTQs, which sounds like fun anyway. But if she is not found mentally stable, then you can get a power of attorney. I know that exists. Just something to think about.
Well,
you didn't hear
yeah.
from me.
No, but as far
no,
as
nobody
the insurance
heard it,
policy Dave. Issue, I, that's not going to change unless I get that divorce.
Well, I'm rooting for you. Is there a website or anything we can look at or find for, to track this case, or is it just something we just got to kind of find on Google?
Good question. I know my attorney has a website. You just TMZ.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, Tom. I mean, we're gonna talk about. I'm just too twisted up on this topic. I don't even know how to talk about it anymore. You're welcome to stay on for the rest
yeah,
of the show.
Yeah, I
kind of
wanted to hear his
news.
Opinion on the
yeah.
transgender prison inmate. If
yeah,
has,
you're
yeah,
if you have
for that, go ahead.
Okay, let's move on. So, just again, LGBTQ people out there, if you know anyone, if you know Roger, this is ridiculous. You know, support
Roger.
Brethren. Roger, we're going after Roger. And Chaz, you know, geez,
it's not
Chaz.
Really Roger, right?
No, it's Chaz.
Okay.
Chaz is the enemy, yes.
Okay.
Chaz is on the phone. No, I'm sorry. Okay, so Jen, what do you got? For
okay.
I know you've tailored it for our special guest.
Of course I did.
Yeah, sounds so good.
There's a Massachusetts U.S. District Judge, Mark Wolf, who approved a sex change for a transgender prison inmate. Who
the hell is that?
It's Eli, I guess.
The dog.
Oh, my God. He keeps doing that. I just keep muting him. Eli's, I love Eli.
He's doing dirty things. But there's a prison inmate, a murder convict, and the judge's ruling requires state prison officials to pay for a transgender inmate to have a surgery. The judge calls the surgery a necessity for Michelle's serious medical need. Not doing so would violate the Eighth Amendment to provide prisoners with adequate medical care. Born a male, Robert Kosilek, it's K-O-S-I-L-E-K, now receives hormone treatment and lives as a female in a male prison. Back in 1990, when he was Robert, he was convicted of killing his wife. My question is, how does a judge grant a fully funded sex change to a murderer and not a divorce to a good citizen like Thomas? Also, does this mean the murderer will need a transfer to a woman's facility? And wouldn't staying in the prison make her a rape target?
Those are all great. Do you know the answers to any of those questions?
Well, no.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So
like,
Thomas
how,
can't get
how
a divorce.
Come this guy can murder somebody, go to prison, and get a sex change operation for free?
So we're paying for that as taxpayers.
Yeah, well, I guess so, Massachusetts. But, yeah,
oh, of course,
taxpayers are. Yeah.
Why couldn't you have moved to Massachusetts, Thomas? I mean, listen to that.
Yeah.
That's
no, I had no idea. I had no idea that the government pays for sex change surgery, so all I had to do was kill someone.
Yeah.
Only you have to murder someone, Thomas. It's not like a free meal. You have to kill someone first.
Yeah, you sucker. You, what did you do, save up?
Yeah, and I'm paying for my own testosterone all this time.
Oh, man. So, wait a minute. So, but he, as of now, this person is not, they live as a, did you say they live as a woman in a male prison?
Yeah, you know, dressed up, like he's got his hair long, she takes hormones, does all the things that Thomas did before he had his sex change.
He's taking hormones already.
They provide that, yes. They.
Oh my God! Did you get provided hormones, Thomas?
When
was it medical?
When
coverage?
I was in prison.
No, I mean when you were before your operation. Did you have government send you free hormones?
No, I've paid for all of my surgeries and hormones and everything.
Is it considered elective? Is it considered elective surgery, or is it a medical need, like insurance?
Well, that's
cover
what
it?
I'm confused about because
this is so crazy.
The article cites gender identity disorder, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The new DSM-5, the new diagnostic and statistical manual, is going to replace the term gender identity disorder with gender dysphoria. So it's not a disorder, and all transgender people are not mentally ill. Just some of us. I'm
so if they determine you're mentally ill, then they'll pay for it.
Yeah, it's called gender dysphoria, and I'm concerned about the fact that the judge is saying that it's a serious medical necessity. Is that what the wording was?
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Provide prisoners.
That's what I have
adequate
a problem
medical
with.
Care and serious medical need is what was quoted, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently he has attempted to cut off his own penis and commit suicide.
Oh.
But, I mean, how many of them try? Like I made a point with Elf Boy, who was arguing with me on Twitter. I said, you know, how many people in there want to kill themselves for being in prison, period? You know, we're not going to set them free because they are depressed about it. You know, it's unfortunate that he can't have a sex change because he killed somebody.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, once you murder someone, I thought you were like, just throw away the key and, you know, you're locked up. No one cares about your sanity.
Right. Or how many people are going to say this now? You know, I'm sure there's plenty of situations that are going to come from this as well. Like Thomas's case, you know, it's going to set precedence because, like I said, what if I go in there and kill somebody? And I'm so depressed because my boobs aren't big. You know,
yeah.
I have body dysphoria. And,
yep.
You know,
and that's
do
why
I get boob
somebody.
Jobs?
Gonna
am
say.
I going to get a boob job now for free?
Yeah, and I'm paying for it. Taxpayers will pay for it.
Well, I'll think about it. It's about
well,
20
see, that's,
grand.
So here's what we learned today, kids. If you want a boob job, kill somebody. Kill them first. Go to prison. Say you're depressed about it. That Beavis and Butthead, I thought that was Thomas the first time I heard it.
No,
yeah, but no, really, it is so forget how you even feel about sex change. The fact is, you make the best point, Jen. We heard Thomas's story for the first 40 minutes. Who can't get a divorce because they won't the judge won't recognize whether or not he's a man. And but that the same government will pay for a sex change for a murder, no questions asked. That is bizarre.
Right.
I'm concerned about the slippery slope of the serious medical need because I understand that this person might qualify as having gender dysphoria, a condition that some transgender people have when feelings of distress negatively affect life functioning, but I think the actual feelings of distress and the person's psychological coping skills should be addressed first. simply being transgender doesn't make you distressed or even want to have surgery, so a surgically corrective action such as sex change should not be seen as the first and only solution.
Absolutely, and we've had that talk before, and we both absolutely agree on that. I mean, I do know that in order to get a sex change, you still have to see a psychiatrist for a certain amount of time, and the psychiatrist has to write off that an approval. That is still that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we lived 100 years ago, we wouldn't, I mean, there weren't any kind of surgical or medical treatment for this. I mean, is it adequate medical care? Maybe it is. I don't know. But the science for transgenderism on a biological basis is in its infancy, and we'll get a clearer picture over time, I think.
But when this prisoner, let's say they go through with the sex change, becomes a woman, they have to transfer her then to a female prison. They can't leave her.
I'm more concerned that she's in the men's prison to begin with because she obviously, I mean, we're calling her she identifies as female, she's on hormones.
She should not be in male prison.
Yeah, I mean, I understand she has a penis right now, but female inmates are just as capable of being sexual abusers, you know, raping another woman.
Yeah.
And on the men's side, you know, all men can get raped on that side too.
Yeah.
I think if the corrections were doing their job properly and managing the prisoners, this shouldn't be a problem.
But people get raped in prison. I mean, everyone knows that. We've all watched Oz.
Yeah, everyone's going to get raped.
Yeah,
well, if she
raped.
Has a vagina, she can't, I mean, logically, you'd think she can't stay in there.
But even right now,
living she's
as
probably
a woman,
getting raped.
You know, even if you have, like, there was a, what was that guy, Phil Best or something, there was some famous serial killer who, it's the craziest video I've ever seen. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. If not, Google it. He'd been in prison for 30 years and started taking hormones. He didn't want to be a man. He just wanted female boobs for his girlfriend or his little boyfriend, whatever they call him in prison, to play with. It's a male prison. And he's sitting there in the interview with the shirt off, and he looks like, you know, Jackie the Jugman Martling with the long hair, gray hair, looks like Santa. And he's got female boobs. And in prison, that was a currency. You know, you have a lot of sexually frustrated men. It's like, hey, you know, I'll let you play with my boobs for a few minutes, I'll give you a cigarette. And he
so you'd be high on the totem pole. In
yeah, and I'm already going to the top. That was funny, Jack. But so this person's got long hair, probably if they're on hormones, they've probably got boobs. Who cares if there's a penis underneath? I mean, they're just, you know, a victim for it. But at the same time, do we really care if someone who murdered their wife is going to get repeatedly raped in prison? Is that something I'm supposed to care about? Because I don't. I really don't.
I know. I feel the same way, but yeah, we are supposed to care.
We're supposed to. So we're supposed to feel sorry for this murderer.
No, we're supposed to not let him get raped.
Well, I say...
I don't feel sorry for him. Like, if he cut his penis off, like Marvin or someone in our chat room said, if he cut his penis off and bled to death, we wouldn't feel bad at all. It'd be...
No. I actually,
you know,
that's the alternative
wife,
they should
like,
give
if
him.
He wants... Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I have no problem with it. And so, that's again... I mean, it's not like they're in there for, you know, smoking a joint or stealing a loaf of bread because they're poor. I mean, this person's a murderer.
Right.
That's a real problem. Forget, I mean, I don't like the tax dollars paying for a sex change at all, of course, because, you know, I get conservative about that stuff. But even past that, this is a murderer. So I don't give a shit about their rights. I don't really care. You're in prison. That's why I put you in prison. That's why you are in prison, because no one cares about you. Sometimes they want a rehab. You know, prison's supposed to initially be rehabilitational, if that's a word. So maybe that's what they're doing. They're going to eventually...
Well, we can't turn into Middle Eastern prisons where we torture people.
Why not? Seriously, though, why can't we?
Well, okay. Let me distinguish, though. Like, because, one, it makes us lose our humanity, period. When you can't connect with people and you don't feel sorry for someone as you gouge their eyeballs out, you stop being humane. So that's part of it. But, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it being pedophiles, though. I could torture them.
I mean, who are we to talk about a perfect society when Thomas, again, can't get a judge to recognize him as a man and grant him a divorce, but this person's getting sex? I mean, at that point, once you start seeing stuff like that, then I don't care. All bets are off. No one's driving this train. Nobody makes sense anyway. The least we can do is make someone... And, again, if this person wants to be a woman and they're in prison for murder and whatnot, I mean, who knows that they don't... you know, enjoy the extra male attention they're getting in prison. I mean, couldn't it be punishment to not let them get the sex change so they have to stay male in a male prison?
Well, exactly. I think it's in a sense, I mean, it might be a need in the real world, but in prison, it's a privilege. Anything outside of the norm is a privilege in prison. I think. Like, they shouldn't even get TV. That's a bunch of shit.
I thought Elf Boy would call in, but he...
She is on hold, I thought.
No, he left.
Push one? Got,
no. He left, which is too bad, because he was making the case that...
No,
know,
he's on there. Just wants to listen and feed the geese, it says.
Oh. Shannon, are you there? Is that you?
Hello?
Yeah. Did you hang up and then call back?
Yeah, I had to take another call. I'm working today.
Unacceptable. So we're wrapping up the show, but I wanted to let... Do you want to talk or no?
I just think that, you know, we don't really know his side other than he's a murderer and psychopath, whatever.
Right.
But
whatever.
Mentally, yeah, whatever. You know, well, they didn't give us his side of the story. You know, there's always two sides. We hear the side of the conservative people that don't want to pay for this.
Right. That's
which
true.
Is the media. That's how the media controls you.
Myself.
We don't know if he committed this murder because of his sexual identity. If he tried to chop off his own penis, that tells you right there that the guy is mental, and there's a mental problem.
So don't let him chop off anything else then. Like, Thomas has been through the same type of issues, and he hasn't murdered anybody.
Not yet.
Well, no, because
right?
I think in order to commit murder,
it's
you know,
not
that,
an
that,
excuse.
That,
he's,
that's some
yeah.
kind of a mental issue. Because
well,
if everybody could just kill somebody, everybody would get that pissed us off. Tom Arnold would have been gone years ago.
Right.
So don't you need to be somewhat sane before having a surgery like that then? Like a sex change? Like if he's obviously insane.
Well, maybe the gender identity is causing the insanity.
But let me ask you, because I know what you're saying, Elf Boy. Why does that matter, what his intention was or what caused it? Do you know what I'm asking?
Well, right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Did you guys watch 2020 last night?
No.
With that Rodriguez guy who walked down the street with a noisy neighbor and shot the guy?
Awesome. Wait, that's bad, right? Okay.
Right, well, no, but you can see that the guy was mental. For some reason, he goes and shoots his neighbor for whatever, and take a video camera with him that's going to probably help fry his ass.
Right.
But I'm thinking possibly this whole gender thing from, you know, being from childhood, whatever, until the day he did kill somebody, that was the reason, because he could not handle being a male.
But
and he married this woman, and this woman, he probably blamed her for him being a man, because that's what he has to do, is being a male in the society. You got to grow up male, marry a female, and blah, blah, blah.
Crazy.
And he may have just blamed her for it all and blew her away. I don't know. We
but even if,
his
even if that...
So you don't reward him with a sex
crazy change. Scenario that you've painted. Even if that were true, I still don't understand why that makes a difference. And the further your point, why going through with the procedure would change anything. He's still got to, she, whatever it is, still has to serve their time for murder.
Understandably, in what, that 7 years? So in 7 years, they can get the sex change operation, go through the psychotherapist, and maybe be completely normal and rehabilitated in the end.
And that's more terrifying than anything, because... You know, it's one thing to have intimacy issues and go to therapists and work it out. You know, it's another thing to work out being a murderer and going back and assimilating back into society. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but I've seen people that have small issues, you know, their mom didn't love them enough or, you know, they got beat up in school one time that affect them their entire life. They have tons of therapy and medication, and they're still an asshole. I have a hard time believing if those people can't make a change that somebody who murdered someone's going to come out and have therapy and all of a sudden be a productive citizen. I find it maybe 99% impossible in my medical
opinion. Right. Well, I'm just going by because I don't know his story. So I'm
correct.
Making the theories of why he possibly did that.
Yes, you are. And I do find it interesting.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Your theories are, I don't know if you've noticed, if you go back and listen to the show, your theories are interesting. They show a little bit of a little bit of bias.
Oh, Jake, I have got some movie ideas that would
I mean, they're sitting there like, oh, male in this society, maybe she, and it's like, no, I mean, obviously, this person's got problems. Even if they're, I mean, nobody wakes up a murderer. You know, that's the thing
exactly.
I always say. You don't. So there's always a reason somebody's messed up and dysfunctional to that point. And yes, it's sad. And had you gotten in there in time and intervened, possibly you could have saved it. But after they've murdered somebody, I think it's done. It's too late.
Yeah,
I mean,
it feels like a reward to me. Like, he killed someone, now he gets a free sex change. Like, it's a program.
And again,
that's why I think it's wrong.
And I see your point. I so see your point. You know, it's like somebody robbing a bank and going to prison and then getting handed $1 million when they get out. I see
right.
your point. But robbing a bank and then killing somebody, I think it takes a certain kind of mentality to actually just go out and kill somebody. You know what I mean? Or
right.
some kind of abuse or some kind of something.
Absolutely.
And if the whole gender thing is the reason why, then maybe that operation can fix the person.
That's an interesting point. I mean, but, you know, I doubt it's that. I think it goes back probably even before then and deeper. But, you know, none of us are licensed therapists, although I should be. I do want to wrap this up.
I have a very important question for Thomas.
Okay. I'm just trying to get off this damn phone. But go ahead.
Thomas.
Yes.
Is Thomas here?
Yes. Yes, Jen.
Who are you voting for? Who are you voting for, Thomas?
Roseanne.
Well, now the judge is going to know you have no mental sanity. You're going to lose your case, as I would rule myself. All right. Well, I want to cover one last topic before I go. But anyway, before we do, I just want to say thank you, Thomas. We are going to go after Chaz and the LGBTs for you. I'm like a coiled up snake. I just need to be pointed in the right direction of where to attack, and I feel enthusiastic about this and excited.
And I need some anger therapy, so he's going to give me all the phone numbers.
And of course.
Yeah.
And of course, we care about you, too. That's part of it. But we're also just really screwed up and bitter old people, me and Jen. So I want to thank you for calling in. We'll follow this close, and Elfoy as well. But I do have to give one shout-out, something that I think is really important, and that is that Kathy Reynolds is an old, twisted, bitter-ass-faced cunt. And I'll tell you why I say
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
I love the words. Kathy Reynolds, for those of you who don't know, is a loyal friend of the show. She's the one that calls in and is like, ning, 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 ning. It sounds like she should be on some hideous Honey Boo Boo for adult
reality
show.
She's going to get herself a boob lift or something.
She went on my sister's show or listened to it, and they were doing something like, hey, let's be nice for 30 days. Well, Kathy's not nice. As I said, she's a grizzled, bitter, hideous monster of a human being. And she went on this 30-day thing where she's like, I'm going to be nice, and she will not fight with me. She will not react. Every time I attack her, she's like, oh, you know, God bless. She's gone libtard, airy-fairy. And I feel actually very terrified for her because she's now in a very dangerous state, a very cultish state where she's lost all bearing on reality and is lying to herself. And I feel that it's my mission to make her mad to sort of snap her out of it because she's in like a zombie cult. What do you guys think?
I think she's going to punch you in the throat when she's done.
All right. I can't take any more. Kathy, I love you even though you're a hideous, skanky...
Wow.
Twat rag. Thomas, thank you. Everybody, thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks for having me on the show. You guys are awesome.
Anytime,
I'll give you those numbers.
Anytime.
All right, everybody.
We will.
For those of you out there in the cult, starting now, it's Go After Chaz Bono. So... Take
and LGBT, Q, A, B, C, D.
All right, thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.